There's so many places I want to go. And I'm trying to just ask the Lord where He wants me. If you want to just keep those lights dim, but you can turn on those house lights, Michael. I want to read, I've had about three passages that stuck out to me this week, and I'm not sure if I'm going to read all three or just one or something completely different that was put on my heart tonight. But I'm going to, hey, if you're new, we're glad you're here tonight. Welcome home. Welcome to a place where we're not trying to have a good service. We're just trying to run after the presence of God together. And we're all invited to do that. Amen. 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 I want to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. I don't think I'm getting to Job tonight again. Poor Job. Just to fill you in, we've been in this, I've been doing a teaching of the entire book of Job, starting in chapter 1, and we're up to chapter, I believe, 35, 36, week 19, but I haven't been able to preach week 19 for about 5 weeks now. 6 weeks? Wow, y'all are counting. But I'm just going to jump into where the Lord has me tonight. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. And it says this. When you pray, how many people pray every day? How many people are honest and will say, not me? Hey, that's okay, that's okay. I mean, you know, we'll pray for you, but I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. I'm going to read that again. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Prayers are measured by the weight, not the length. The original Greek word where it says don't pray over and over repetitiously is the Greek word batalogeo, which literally translates blah, 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 blah. I love that. There's a Greek word that literally means blah, 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 blah. And when that verse stood out to me this week, I've been asking the Lord, why is that being highlighted? Why is that what you want me to talk about tonight? Because I feel like the church in general, when we ask God for things, oftentimes it comes out as blah, 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 blah. And here's what I mean by that. We don't really understand how to pray or what to pray for, so we just say stuff hoping that we kind of get the basket, right? Kind of shooting free throws and hoping it lands somewhere. And we haven't really been taught how to pray or what to pray or what's an effective prayer. And a lot of that resides in not really understanding the concept of face-to-face. When we truly start to understand who God is and who we are in Him, your prayer life will shift. When we truly start to understand who we are and who we are in Him, your prayer life will shift. Because you're no longer going to pray to God from a distance, rather you're going to pray to God with face-to-face encounter. There's another passage, and I'm going to tie into this, that I want you to hear me. It says that Romans 8, 15, you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children, and now we call Him Abba, Father. What we miss a lot of times in that is, one, what is a fearful slave? He did not bring you in as a son or daughter of God to make you a slave to religious duty. And what slaves to religious duty will get into the rhythm of is the blah, 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 blah. You going to church every week with no weight of understanding why you're even coming, sometimes it's blah, 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 blah. Not that it's insignificant that you come, but if you think that coming to church impresses Father, you got to understand that your attendance doesn't impress him. What he wants is you. He doesn't want you a slave to the religious duty of attendance. He doesn't want you a slave to the religious duty of showing up every chance you get. He wants you to understand that you were adopted, that you have rights of the kingdom, that you're bringing, that he brings you closer to, from just the formal idea of Father to Abba, Father. He says, now that I've adopted you as my own and have brought you close, you can shift from simply Father to another degree of intimacy, Abba, Father. The word Abba literally means daddy or papa. That's why you hear some of those weird people sometimes that cry that when they pray papa, you know, hey daddy, you know. Anybody, Lee's weird. Who's a weirdo? Who says papa or daddy? Y'all are weird. But that's where that comes from. It's a realization of the intimacy of Father. And that doesn't mean if you say Father or God, you don't understand intimacy. It's simply that there's a revelation of you understanding that there is an invitation to a relationship that is personal, to where you're not just seeing God as someone who pours out wrath or righteousness. You're seeing him as a person that wants to bring you in as his own, as a son or daughter, giving you rights to the kingdom of God, giving you keys to the kingdom. Now, how does this relate back to prayer? When you understand that you are brought in as a son or daughter of God, giving up the rights as a slave and coming into the rights as kings and priests of the Lord, when you start to understand that he is bringing you closer into that, you start to see what he has already done that we still pray for. You start to see what he's already done that you still pray for. Here's what I mean by that. Most of us have gone through or are going through times, or maybe we'll go through times where we have, or we currently do, pray for things like, Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me from the sickness. Lord, deliver me from the stronghold. Lord, deliver me from this religious spirit. Lord, deliver me from the spirit of jealousy. Lord, deliver me from this sexual immorality. Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. You know what that kind of prayer is, and you don't know it? Because the church hasn't taught it, it's blah, 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 blah. You want to know why? Someone asked me why. Because he's already delivered you. Amen. Blah, blah, blah is I'm asking God to do something that he's already done. So a weighty prayer is not, Lord, deliver me, but Lord, I believe you have delivered me. Show me what I am not walking out in obedience to the truth of that deliverance. A key of the kingdom of God is, I have delivered you from the thing you're asking deliverance from. So stop asking, will you deliver me? And show me where that truth lies. Walking with the Lord step by step, day by day in this journey is not, Lord, will you please free me? Will you please deliver me? Will you please take me out of this place? He has already done all of that. He has freed every single person that cries out to him and says, Lord, here I am. The scripture says that, and I believe it's actually the verse before I just read, Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Everyone who is led by the Spirit of God, you are sons and daughters of God. There's no earning. You can't earn it. It's a gift to you. He says, you're my son. You're my daughter. You're being led by me. Being led by the Lord, he is not leading you to cry out for deliverance. He's leading you into the place where deliverance already is. So you shift from, Lord, will you, to, Lord, What is preventing that truth from manifesting? What did we just sing? Yahweh, Rapha, Elohim, Shaddai, and the rest of the names, and the rest, and then the last line, will manifest himself. He wants his glory and his image manifested in your life. And his glory, his worth, his image manifested looks like you are totally free from what you think you are still under bondage to. So not, Lord, will you deliver me? Lord, I want to be led into a manifested reality of what that freedom is and has been accomplished. So we move from God, please do it, to Lord, show me the next step into where that is. So if freedom is over there next to my wife, Shy, we've got to stop praying, Lord, I want freedom. We got to start praying, Lord, what's my next step into seeing what that is manifest right here? Because Lord, deliver me is right. Is, if that's my deliverance, this is what Lord, deliver me does. Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver, Lord, please deliver me. And then you start getting blah, 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 and mumbling all over the microphone. Lord, deliver me. And you know what never happens? You never get delivered. I'm going to go even further. What the church has done is made Lord, deliver me come to the altar. And we have people that come to a 10-foot area between the stage and the chairs because for some reason church people think it's more holy. Can I get an amen to this? And people come to the altar and get their hands laid on, and you know what never happens? They never get delivered. Because you know what that has become for most of us? Blah, 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 blah. And there's no genuine weight of the glory and presence of God and his face for you to see what is the next step in my life for me to walk into a place that I think resides at an altar. Because I put forth to you that the altar of God is everywhere you set foot, because the altar of God is his presence. And if his, I'm getting a smile back there. You're resonating with this, aren't you? Or either that or your wife's pinching you. There's this reality of the presence of God is with us wherever we go. If the altar is where his glory is and where his presence is, then you don't come to the altar. You submit yourself because you are an altar of to the Lord. Amen. What is an altar? The place where sacrifice is given. Yes. Give your lives as a living. I've literally had people leave this church because of that statement. That the altar is wherever you go. Because it offends the thing that we're no longer slaves to, religion. Because religion wants you to think that your freedom is do these rules and make sure you're good. The commandments and rules of God should simply be an outflow of a changed heart and a changed mind. I've been having conversations with someone in this congregation. I won't tell you their names, but Andrew and I have been talking, and he brought up a thought, I don't think I told him this, but it's something that I believe, and I've taught years ago. I haven't taught in a while, but I love it when people get their own revelation of stuff. He was reading Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 through 23, and it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And usually we talk about the nine fruits of the Spirit, right? And this is what we do. We say, well, if I can get to a certain place in my life where I'm getting closer to God, maybe those fruits will start to manifest, right? So it's like, I want to get closer to the Lord so I can have self-control. I want to get closer to the Lord so I can have patience. Here's where we miss it. There's not 9 fruits of the Spirit. When that scripture was written, fruit is not plural. If you look at the original language, fruit is, Andrew, say it, singular. What does that mean? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And I thought Andrew said it really good, and I'm not going to try to make up a new idea because I thought this was a really good example. I hope it's okay that I share this. I didn't ask for permission, but he said, think about love as the orange. It encompasses everything inside of the orange peel, if you will. Love, if you peel open the orange, you will see joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. But what we think is all of these different things are manifestations of the Lord, or I'll get all of these things, or maybe I won't get all of these things. But the truth of the matter is, if we're walking in genuine love, then all of the attributes of that orange, if you will, it's people will see what's beyond the surface. People will see love manifest as all these things. Why do I say that? Lord, give me self-control. Blah, 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 blah. Lord, take me into a deeper revelation of what your love is. And when you start to see the face of God, the love of God, it's as if we're looking into a mirror, because we were made in that image. So you know what the lie that we've bought is? Well, I just don't have self-control. Not according to Genesis 1:27. Because in Genesis 1:27 it says, all are made in the image of God. What is the image of God? Love. What is love? All of the fruit of the Spirit. Love is all of these things. So if you were made in His image, self-control and peace and kindness and long-suffering, all these things are in you somewhere, but you won't see them if you think they're still external. And you speak curses over yourself. I'm not at peace. You just denied what you're made of. Because, again, you were adopted as children of God. And if you're led by the Spirit and you are children of God, then you all rights you had as an earthly citizen were given up, and you got new rights as a son or daughter of the Lord. You know what those rights are? The rights to what's in you that the world told you is not a part of you. We've got to stop making everything an external journey and start understanding that what we're made of is Him, and all of Him resides somewhere in us. But we have to learn to submit to that instead of saying, Lord, I want it, Lord, I want it, Lord, I want it. Why don't we start praying, Lord, would you reveal what's in me that's blocking it? At men's group Wednesday, we kind of touched on this subject a little bit. Am I making sense? Okay. In men's group, we kind of touched on the subject a little bit, but the scripture talks about the weight of sin. And how we're to strip off the weight. But what happens is in life, when we make choices that are opposite of what the Lord wants, we start to carry all this weight. We start to carry on all the stuff that becomes a part of us. And before you know it, the weight of sin that you think is just minimal starts to affect who you are. It starts to affect every part of you. I won't give you the specifics, but there was an old worship song that was talking about the healing of God. And the worship leader, when he used to sing this song, this was probably back in early thousands, maybe late 90s. He would sing, Lord, you're my healer. And when he sang the song, he had this oxygen tank on with the oxygen in his nose. And he was talking about how he had cancer and all this stuff. And he would sing this song. And it was a great song. We've done it, actually, at Relentless. Can I go on a tangent really quick? I think the Christian community is horrible at improperly judging things. Like when you have like the singer of the Newsboys, everyone thinks that you can't sing his songs because he messed up. The Lord still gets glory. Get over it. Shut up. Is that okay? Going back to what I was talking about. So this worship leader, it came out that it was all a lie. He didn't have cancer. He wasn't singing this song, getting healed from this disease. What it was that he was highly addicted to pornography. And he was so addicted to it that it affected him physically. It was his oxygen. So he started having physical symptoms that was really started with just an issue from his eyes. You want to know why? Because the weight of sin, it gets heavier and heavier and heavier, where you can't have room to be free from the thing that is trying to entrap you. So you tell a white lie, and then another lie, and then another lie, and then before you know it, you don't even know that you're lying. Right? Or we mismanage money, and we keep doing it, and before you know it, you're in debt. You don't have any freedom in your finances. And then the Lord says to give, and then we come up with all these reasons as to why we can't afford to give and all this. And I'm not going to preach a tithing message tonight, but understand it's not, is the church properly stewarding my funds? It's, are you properly stewarding your funds? And I can go on and on and on with examples, but all this sin, and sin is simply the idea of you're missing the mark, right? Like you're shooting the literal term is you're shooting an arrow. The arrow tries to hit the target, and you miss the target. And you know what? A miss is a what? A miss is a miss. A miss is sin. A miss is a miss. So in other words, like all sin is weighed the same, but sin affects us differently with how much we continue in it. And yet we still say, Lord, deliver me, when he says, your deliverance is stripping the weight of sin off. And you're still wanting the Lord to do it. So we come up, let's go back to the blah, blah, blah. We come up to the altar. Lord, take this from me. The Lord's like, I already have. You're the one that keeps diving in. You're the one that keeps eating from it. The Lord says, eat from my bread, and you settle in for whatever else you got on the plate. He wants all of us. He doesn't want this religious duty of I have to do this and I have to do that. He just wants you. Why does he want you? Because he wants to accomplish things in the earth through you. Look, there's the other part of the scripture. I've never seen this highlighted to me until I was reading it over there a little while ago in the dark. That's a whole other sermon. You would think Genesis chapter 1 would be easy to get to. God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created the male and female he created them. Now watch this. Then God blessed him and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. He gave them the ability to be fruitful, multiply, and govern once they were in his image. If you're having issues governing an area of your life, it's not because you can't. It's because you're not surrendered to true image of you. You mean to say that again? If you're having issues governing things in your life, it's not because you don't have the ability to govern. It's because the ability to govern flows from you walking in true image. Because it says, he created humans in their image and then blessed them. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, govern it. Well, I don't have self-control. Not according to the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. You're led by God, then you are in the image of God. You are sons of God. You are daughters of God. You're made in the image of God. You are purchased by love. You are identified in love. Self-control is in love. Therefore, if you don't have self-control in an area, it's because an area of your life is not surrendered to a true image of who you are supposed to be. And when you're surrendered to true image, then you will have self-control, not because he will give it to you, but he will reveal it to you from an inner man that is completely identified in the Spirit of God. I'll get specific with it. Let's go back to the issue of the porn with the worship leader. He was trying to mask his symptoms because he held a position on a platform. So he was walking in a man's image of a great worship leader because he was walking in the image of his talent, of his skill. If thousands came to know the Lord from a song written out of a lie, can you imagine what would have happened? If he would have just surrendered in the first place to, Lord, this is not what you asked me to walk in. That is where we're at in life for every one of us. Lord, am I surrendered to an image that you approve of and that you have created or not? And what has happened in the church is that we are walking in an image of church that the Lord is not even putting his hands on. We're walking in our image of church. And that's why people will come to church expressions and have a hard time of, I've 60 minutes. I got an hour and I got things to do the rest of my day. You are going to a golden calf cult church and not actually being identified as church. Is this too much? Think about it. Why did they create a golden calf? Moses was up too long and worshiping on the mountain. Where are you at? What do we do? But isn't that what can happen sometimes? Like when we get in this lingering moment and it gets silent and we start to go, what do we do? There's no song. There's no one with a microphone. There's no preaching. It's just quiet in here. What do we do? And then we start building this golden calf in our minds of, this isn't how church should be. This must be a cult. This isn't this. This isn't that. And before you know it, everyone's laughing. Before you know it, the river that he invited you into, you're trying to swim out of. Let me go even further with that. See, this is one of those ones you just edit before you put it up. Have y'all been noticing for a year now how crazy the weather's been? Heard there was a tornado at the wildlife refuge yesterday. It's flooding in areas that flooding was never even on their radar. Like what happened in Texas. It rose 27 feet in 45 minutes. Is that what it was? Something like that. Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Houses being swept away. For the first time in the history of, like, the world, Alaska had a heat index of 110 last month. Alaska. The weather's just crazy. But what I've been noticing is the rivers and the waters. They're rising. And what I've been seeing is that there's a physical manifestation in the wrong way of waters rising. But there's also an invitation in the spiritual to an intended image of the river rising. And it was prophesied in Ezekiel 47. It says in Ezekiel 47, when he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, the south of the altar, and then he brought me out by way of the north gate. And it keeps on going on, but basically it says the rivers kept getting deeper, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then finally he got all the way in where there he couldn't touch the ground. It was that deep. It was just the river was increasing. Now, we brought that up today in our pre-service prayer. But the Lord showed me something. This is what he showed me. I'm going to read verse 1. He brought me back to the door of the temple, and the water was flowing below the threshold of the temple. The water was flowing from the temple. The river was flowing from the temple, as Pee Wee just said, at the right side of the altar. Who is sitting at the right hand of the Lord? Who? Jesus. Who are we in the image and identified in? Jesus. Who is, what is and who is the temple of God? The people of God identified in Jesus. So where should the river be flowing from? The river flows from the people of God. In other words, when we come together, and I don't just mean in a once-a-week gathering. I'm talking in a once-a-week gathering. I'm talking about coming together as a family at dinner. I'm talking about wherever you go, there's an opportunity from the rivers of the Lord to flow from the temple of the Lord that is you. And if there is a corporate yearning for the river to flow, it will get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, why do we want it to get deeper? Verses 8 through 9. The water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the Araba, and enters the sea. And when the waters flow into the sea, the waters will become fresh. What does that mean? There's healing in the water. That everything it touches will be healed. When the river met the sea, the waters of the sea were transformed in the scripture. So what is the gift of evangelism for the church? Let the river flow so that wherever you walk, the sea is transformed. What do you mean the sea is transformed? You keep blah, 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 blahing about, Lord, save my family. I would say surrender to the river flowing out of your mouth, out of your being, out of your prayers. Let you be the river of living water that will flow and touch everything you've been blah, 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 blahing about. Now, some of you are offended at that. You're telling me not to pray for my family? No, I'm not telling you not to pray for your family. I'm saying your prayer is empty if you don't attach it to an action. So you can't just say, Lord, heal. You have to say, Lord, what about me is not surrendered to your image that is a dam to the flooding of river out of me into everywhere I go? You know how we always say, Lord, break down the walls? We always talk about the walls of religion, but we never talk about the walls as hindering the water flowing from the temple. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. Everything will live wherever the river goes. It says everything will live. Everything. So if you've ever been under this false teaching of some are meant to be saved and some are not meant to be saved, That is the biggest lie that the church is embracing, and most churches in the South called Reformed embrace it. They think some people are destined for heaven and some people are destined from hell, and that whole theology is from hell itself. Well, that's just my interpretation. Well, you interpreted it wrong. The scripture says that we are all made in the image of God, that the rivers will make everything live. So it's not that everyone will get to heaven. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying everyone will be saved. But it is the intent for every single person to be saved. And then we choose. Do we accept or do we deny? So it's not this game of going out into the world and wondering who is meant to be saved. It's where can I release the rivers of living water? And if it's not able to release, it's not, Lord, why won't you do it? It's, Lord, what is hindering it from flowing? Now, in verse 11, I want to make sure I read this. It says, its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. Because there are some things that will remain hardened because they simply don't want to be touched by the river. But you can't hinder the flow of living water because you are expecting a hardening of heart. Well, I don't want to step on toes and I don't want to offend. Jesus was called a rock of offense. If we're made in his image, why aren't we bold enough to offend that which is not of the Lord? Now, I don't mean we go out and hold signs up and protest. And here's why I say that. It don't really accomplish much. You know what the biggest protest is? You live in a different image. And your life is the proof that your Lord is the only true God. When I'm talking about not being afraid of offense, it's not being hindered because you are afraid to offend someone's belief. I want the love of God to offend someone's belief. Because offense causes a crossroads of I will change or I will stay. So why not let offense flow from I want to be identified in the image of God, every part of me, and let everything about me be a living testimony? It's quiet in here. I hope y'all are receiving this. John 3:27 says this, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. John 3:27, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. The idea of earning or the ability to attain is the slavery of your religious duty. What if we jumped in the river of living water where we would be baptized in what the Lord wants to give rather than trying to earn the rights for the water from standing along its edges. What if we would jump in the river and be baptized in His presence rather than trying to earn rights for the water by standing on the shore admiring the water? Here's what I mean by that. Everyone comes to church and we watch. You're not called to watch. You're not called to admire the water. You're not called to hope one day that you get some of the water. You've got to jump in the water. You can't come here and watch what's happening. You are to jump in the flow of what's happening. Y'all notice there was three or four people who were giving words of what the Lord was saying throughout the gathering? That is an expression of jumping in. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone's going to get a word. But it does mean that you will stop wondering, where are you taking us, and start asking Him. Because you're in it. You're with it. If we would get consumed with jumping in the river, we'll stop trying to go after natural, supernatural fruit. Here's what I mean by that. And I've been saying this for weeks, and I'm going to say it again tonight, because I'm hearing it from all corners of the world, all kinds of people, all kind of church media, Facebook streams, and it's offending me to the point of we have to address it. We've got to stop coming to church based off of where I can find the community. Because if you're searching for community, you can find it anywhere. You can find it at the Masonry Lodge. You can find it at City Hall. You can find it at a strip club. You can find it at a bar. You can find it at the Catholic Church. You can find it in witchcraft circles. You can find community anywhere. How dare you look for community before you look for the presence of God? Because the natural fruit of looking for the river of living water is the community. But don't let community be the drive. And stop quoting Acts 2 as if you know what it means when you say, well, they came together for community after they sought the Lord. Y'all, it's a skewed passion. You know what community that should be driving you? I want communion with the Lord. I want communion with Abba. I want communion with the Son of God. I want communion with Holy Spirit. And you know what God promises? If you'll seek communion with me, I'll let there be community with each other. Because that's the river He wants you a part of. Not these little pitiful streams that call themselves houses of God. I'm saying too much. Is this okay? What do you mean by pitiful streams called houses of God? Oh, gosh, I'm getting in it. Why have we settled for an image of God that has no power except for what we read about in a book? Y'all, we're not given this book to read about how great the 12 disciples and 12 apostles are. We're given this book to show us that you can hear from the Lord just like them.
That's why it says, if there were enough pages to contain what the Lord did while he was here on earth, there would not be enough pages to contain it. You want to know why? Because what he did is still being undone and revealed. Why? Because he... thank you, Lord. Now I understand why you brought me there. Because when he came and sacrificed himself on the cross and rose from the grave and ascended to heavens, this is what really happened. He said, I've come back to buy the image so that when you're identified in the image, you can be multiplied in the earth. Genesis 1:27. Made you in my image. Now you're blessed and go multiply. What does he want us to multiply? Christ in the earth. Christ is not the last name in Jesus. Christ is the anointed one. What did Jesus come to do? He said, I've come to multiply the anointed in the earth. So you want to know why there's not enough pages to contain it? Because think about it. There could be enough pages for 3 years of ministry, because what he did while he was here wasn't 3 years of ministry. It was a lifetime of multiplication of Christ. So what he did in just a matter of days cannot be contained because it's still being done. When you see yourself in the image of God, that is Christ being multiplied. When you jump in the river, that is Christ being multiplied. When you have the boldness to pray for someone because you realize you are just as anointed as the man of God, that's Christ being multiplied. When we stop treating the man with the microphone as a celebrity and just as a person called to empower you, that's when Christ is multiplied. Oh, have you heard this person preach? Oh, they got a word. So do you. Have you listened to that latest worship song on 88.1 that's, you know, it's like a new breakout hit, but it was written 20 years ago and people are just now catching up? Why not move from that to, let me tell you about the river of worship I was in this weekend. And let's go one step further. It moves from the worship team at Relentless to, yeah, I met with six people who couldn't sing and we just sang in our house. And that right there was more anointed than the radio station or from the $200,000 sound system at the biggest church in the area. Christ being multiplied. That's the river he wants us in. We are created to be in his image. Not dependent upon an image of church that doesn't operate in his image. I see everyone looking around like, everybody's still here? I don't know where the Lord wants to. Show me, Lord. Beloved identity. Embracing that you are totally identified as a child of God. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to buy your way into it. You don't have to give your way into it. You just have to receive it. You're made in his image. You are made. Made. You know, the scripture says that we're made in his likeness. You ever realize that made is past tense? You've been made. Yet we still get this idea of, Lord, when is it going to happen for me? When you receive it. Are you dealing with depression, anxiety, worry? Stop blah, blah, blahing about, Lord, when are you going to deliver me from it? He already has. You have to receive it. Well, Kyle, you don't know what it's like. You're right, I don't. I don't know your personal journey. I don't know what you've been through. But I do know the same one that wants to get you out of it. Jump in that river. There's some things that have been spoken against you in your life. Am I off? Undervaluing you. Putting limits on what you're going to become based off of what they see. Does that resonate? Yeah. The Lord wants you to know that all that is dried up streams. And you can live your life in that dried up stream or jump in the river of He wants to do incredible things for you, and you're an incredible man of God. Yeah. You're not becoming a man of God. You are a man of God. And we see you. And I want you to know that there's a people here who love you. Yeah. And the Lord, what He's showing me is you see things in the spirit that you doubt. But He says, start writing them down because you're going to see them come true. He's giving you vision for your life. Am I off? No. Let me just pray for you. What's your name? Jaden. Church, can y'all pray with me? This is Jaden. You can pray out loud or silently. Lord, I just thank you for Jaden. I keep hearing the identity of David, a man after God's heart. You have a uniqueness, Jaden, to not be corrupted by man's expectations, but by what you're be identified by what you're seeing, the Lord is showing you. I see the tears in your eyes, and I'm gonna speak over you that those tears are tears of receiving truth. You are a strong man. You are a great man. You're a handsome man. You have gifts that the Lord wants to develop. And the word spoken over you that says you'll never be able to use that, I just cancel that word out right now in the name of Jesus. And I speak it over you that you can use it for the glory of the Lord. And you don't have to become what they're trying to tell you to become. Become what the Lord's put inside of you. So, Lord, give him dreams again. Give him imagination. Give him the things that you have told him. And all the strategies of the enemy from this day forward have failed. Receive your image, and you're going to see tremendous multiplication in your life. Let's jump in the river. Lord, thank you for making us in your image. Thank you for making it available to us. And Lord, I pray that as we leave tonight, I just speak that the river is flowing from the temple and that people will be transformed by the blood of who you are and the word of our testimony, that we will be identified in you.
and that you will be multiplied throughout the earth. Give us dreams. Give us visions. I feel like the Lord is saying this to someone. He's given you the right to dream again. Receive it. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Guys, I hope y'all have an incredible night. A few things before you leave.